I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to my home studio. Yes, this is what it looks like when I record my show at home, which I don't get to do very often, but I am grateful to be home for just a little while, and as you know, it won't be long before I am off to Haiti for a mission trip. I will be meeting up with my husband and my son, who have already been there for 3 months, and not without our adventures, of course, but just thankful for the opportunity to be home. And thankful for the opportunity that I will get to see my family again in just a few weeks. Oh, man, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to broadcast some shows from Haiti. That is going to be so much fun. And what a better place. What a better place to get back in touch with our spirit of gratitude. Haiti. We will be living with people who have no electricity, no source of fresh water, no plumbing, no air conditioning. The majority of them live in palm frond houses, whether they're palm fronds or just they've been packed with adobe mud on the outside. They fish and they eat, or they don't eat at all. I am blessed to be a part of a team, to bring to these people a self-sustaining system so they don't have to become dependent upon government. They can be self-reliant and God-dependent. I am so blessed, and I am blessed that my 9-year-old has been able to spend 3 months there. I have seen his entire demeanor change. My son has a huge heart anyway, but what a heart of thankfulness has come across him for the simple things. Buffalo Wild Wings. That's what he can. He cannot wait to get home and get Buffalo Wild Wings. The boy loves chicken wings, and he's, you know, and these little things that he appreciates. Just being with his mama again. Can you tell you that delights my heart, that he's excited to be back home with his mama. I'll be excited to see him. I can hardly stand it. I think I just, my heart starts to beat just knowing that once again in a few weeks I will see my husband and my son. And I'm glad you'll be there to join me in that excitement. I also want to remind you that we are on television now. The Lifestyles channel of the Christian Television Network. We air twice on Mondays and 4 times on Thursdays. You can find them by just simply going to my Facebook page or to my website. I have a television show page on my website that will help you get to the show. Now, the show is not currently being archived, so if you want to see it, you have 6 chances every week. It's the same show for 6 times every week, and you can stream it over the internet. There are a few terrestrial stations across the country that carry it. If you have those stations, you can also find out if you can watch them where you are by simply going to my website again, chrisannhall.com, and clicking on the television page. And I want this show to be about thankfulness. We are in the holiday season, and there's so much turmoil going on in the world, so much destruction, so much violence, so much hate. And I mean, right here in America. And there are so many things that we need to be thankful for. And we can't forget that the thing that makes America exceptional is the liberty that was purchased for us with great sacrifice from men and women who believed, as Patrick Henry said, that liberty is worth more than our lives. We must be thankful. We must be eternally grateful for the wisdom of men and women that understood that liberty was a gift from God and that all God's gifts are worthy of every sacrifice. John Adams wrote a letter to Abigail in 1777 expressing this sacrifice. He said, "Posterity, you will never know how much it cost the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it, for if you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it." You see, we have to honor this sacrifice by honoring their memories and continuing in their efforts. I see too often revisionism of our history in an effort to demean these men and women with the purpose of destroying our Constitution. And when we do not properly respect their efforts, and we allow these lies to be taught to our sons and our daughters, we are doing them a great disservice. We are allowing their memories to be soiled. And the sacrifices that they made for us, if you read them, they said time and time again that they were doing what they were doing, building a constitution, preserving liberty for ages and millions yet unborn, sacrificing themselves for generations of people they would never even know. We must teach the truth. We owe it to them. And we owe it to our children. In this holiday season, can we spend a little family time just going over the sacrifices that were made by these men and women? Now look, I am not trying to give our founders some kind of divine status or even to suppose them of a level of perfection that they didn't have. We have to understand that our Constitution was not founded upon people, but upon principles. Our rights come from God, and our Constitution is built and based upon these rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You see, we have to understand that our nation was founded upon this gift of liberty, and that the people who gave us our exceptional principles, they were flawed vessels, just like you and me. You know, the real amazing part of this history is that flawed men understood that the foundation of an enduring nation must be moored in a liberty which is built on the understanding of freedom plus morality. Our founders knew that liberty is a combination of freedom plus morality. Liberty cannot survive where there is pure freedom. Pure freedom gives the man the right to do whatever is right in his own mind, to cheat, lie, rob, murder, steal. Pure freedom is total lawlessness. And at the same time, liberty cannot survive with morals alone. Moral law, not mingled with freedom, is simply a theocracy. And theocracy in the hands of men is tyranny in the name of religion. It's Sharia law. Sharia law is government-forced morality. The sad news is that we are dangerously approaching the time where Americans seem to be in the position of wanting a morality forced by law. Our founders attempted to give us a balance and to secure the blessings of liberty for us in our founding documents. And when we abandon our founding documents and disregard our moral foundations, liberty is in peril. And when we forget the sacrifices that were made by the men and women who gave us so much at so great a price, we lose the value of that liberty. Thomas Jefferson gave this warning: can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are a gift from God? There's a value in our liberty, and our framers understood that. While Benjamin Franklin warned America's founders directly, he said, "In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection." He's talking to the Continental Congress. He said, "All of us who were engaged in this struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. Have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance?" You know, I think that's a question that Americans need to ask themselves now. Have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? Do you know what happens when we cry out to government, "Please, please, please make things right. We'll give you more and more power over us just to make things right." We're turning our back on the only one that can change the hearts of men. Patrick Henry said, We are 3 millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country as that which we possess, are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides this, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations, who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. This is an exceptional place built on exceptional principles, and we must honor the exceptional sacrifice to obtain them.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Yes, we have an exceptional constitution built upon exceptional principles, and we cannot deny that we are built on a foundation understanding an exceptional God. Thomas Jefferson reminds us we are not in a world ungoverned by the laws and by the power of a superior agent. Our efforts are in his hand and directed by it, and he will give them their effect in his own time. You see, that's why they were able to make such great sacrifice, because they knew they had a duty and an obligation, not just simply to their men and their families, but to God. Built on the principles of freedom and morality, America has always been the haven of rest where tyrants oppress their own. She is the vineyard of innovation and opportunity. This is the nation that opens its arms to the tired, to the poor, to the oppressed, to the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. No other nation can claim that legacy. No other people have this birthright. This is the shining city upon a hill, and we cannot hide our light under a bush. And we have to be thankful for the sacrifices that made us, the sacrifices that birthed this place, birthed by the principle that the power of government is to be held by the people, and not where the government holds power over the people, where all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. A place that believes that the principle that says all are free to worship according to the dictates of his conscience, all are equally free, as our framers said, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. And if Christians want to be free to worship, then they must have a government that allows everyone to be free to worship. We have learned, and our framers knew, and sacrificed so much so that we could have a place where we could all worship without government sword. Our union has prospered based on the principle that ideas and hard work open the door to prosperity, regardless of bloodline, skin color, or social status. Our union has remained free based on the principle that liberties remain secure by maintaining the right to defend yourself, your property, and your liberty. In the profound words of Daniel Webster in 1806, July 4th, by the way, is our Constitution worth preserving? Guard it as you would the very seed of your life. Guard it not only against the open blows of violence, but against that spirit of change. Miracles do not cluster. That which has happened but once in 6,000 years cannot be expected to happen often. Such a government, once destroyed, would have a void to be filled, perhaps for centuries, with evolution and tumult, riot and despotism. So as we enter into this holiday season, these next few weeks, and we try to maintain our spirit of thanksgiving, we need to maintain a true focus on what's important. You see, today, it has become so popular to denigrate America for every little flaw. Why not take back a bit of American exceptionalism? Why not embrace what makes us different from every other nation on the globe? America is an exceptional nation because we are built on exceptional principles. Principles of liberty, freedom, morality, and equality is derived from our Creator. And these principles are still worth fighting for. In all things, we are to give thanks, even in the good and the bad. Can we take a moment today and remember those who gave all? Some that we've probably even forgotten their names, or perhaps never even learned who they were. I want to introduce you to a few people who are dear to my heart.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
As we remember what we are to be thankful for, let us remember those who sacrificed so that we could have liberty. How many know the name of the first man to give his life so we could be free in this liberty movement that we call the American Revolution? How many of us know his name? His name is Crispus Attucks. Crispus Attucks was a freed slave who had become a whaler for the merchant marines. Crispus Attucks, his ship was docked at the Boston port one day, and he heard an alarm go off on his ship. He ran up deck to put out a fire, because that's usually what an alarm means, only to find out there was no fire, but that his own government had picked up arms against his own people. Crispus Attucks ran back below deck, got 55 of his shipmates, and came out and gave his life so that you and I could be free. There's a poem written about Crispus Attucks by a man named John Boyle O'Reilly. It says, "Honor to Crispus Attucks, who was leader and voice that day, the first to defy, the first to die, with Maverick, Carr, and Gray. Call it riot or revolution, his hand first clenched at the crown. His feet were the first in perilous place to pull the king's flag down. His breast was the first one rent apart, that liberty's stream might flow. For our freedom now and forever, his head was first laid low." Call it riot or revolution, or mob or crowd as you may, such deaths have been seed of nations. Such lives shall be honored for a. Honored for a. Our founders thought that we would remember we would remember Crispus Attucks forever. They thought that we would remember Ned Hector. Who knows who Ned Hector is today? Ned Hector was also a freed slave who fought in the battles of Brandywine and Germantown. And when his military unit was being defeated and the order to retreat was given, he refused to retreat. He said, "The enemy shall not have my team. I will save the horses or perish myself." He knew that liberty was worth more than his life. And he knew that the provisions were hard to come by. And what he possessed was essential to victory. History is full of brave men like Ned Hector and Crispus Attucks. Many slaves were made freemen because they wanted to fight for liberty. There were provisions within the states that said, if you are a slave and you want to fight for liberty, you want to fight for independence, you will be a free man forever. One such man is Peter Salem. Peter Salem fought at the Battle of Bunker Hill, where he is remembered for shooting and killing British Major John Pitcairn. Many believed, including George Washington, that if it had not been for Peter Salem, Pitcairn's troops would have won the battle. And because of Peter Salem's bravery, Salem was honored and introduced to George Washington as a great hero of liberty. Battalions of freed slaves who fought for our liberty in our war for independence. George Middleton was a colonel in the Revolutionary War and led the Bucks of America, a battalion of freed slaves dedicated to the cause of liberty. Even after the war, Middleton would continue to fight through the organization he founded in 1796 called the African Benevolent Society. If you listen to our progressive education system, they don't want you to know about Middleton. They don't want you to know about the African Benevolent Society. They don't want you to know that slaves were freed to fight for our liberty, and that they had an organization in 1796 to provide aid to widows and orphans of the Revolutionary War. Who better to stand for liberty than men who had been slaves and knew the value of it? They believed so greatly that all men deserved to be free from tyranny that many of these men would give their only free breath so we could be free. And we deny their existence in history, refusing to teach our children of their bravery just to satisfy a wicked and evil progressive agenda that keep men slaves. That America is real racial hatred and bigotry. We have the same obligation that our forefathers had to secure the blessings of liberty for ages and millions yet unborn. It's our duty to pick up that mantle. But make no mistake, it'll take a whole body of people to secure this liberty. Not a whole nation, but a whole body dedicated to the great task that remains before us, and willing to give that pledge of life, fortune, and sacred honor. You see, we don't have to fight this on our own, but we do have to do it from an educational standpoint. We have to do this. You know, we are an exceptional place. We are still exceptional people. We are the vigilant, the active, and the brave. And we need to teach of these people so that we can learn of how amazing our heritage is, so we can honor our heritage and fulfill our destiny. We are still exceptional. And we are capable of exceptional bravery and commitment. My son is 9. And we went through this stage of being afraid of the dark. And when he was 6, we were having our bedtime routine. And I told him, I said, okay, Colton, it's now time for you to turn off the light and get into bed. And he said, Mommy, I can't. If I turn off the light, it'll be dark and I won't be able to see. Now I told him, I said, baby, it's the same room in the dark as it is in the light. Nothing changes just because you turned off the light. And besides, Mommy's going to be right here. I won't let anything happen to you. And so he did. He crept out of the bed and made it to the light switch, and then turned and looked at me with hopeful eyes, waiting for a reprieve. Only to find out that none was coming. He turned off the light and then did that superhuman thing that every child can do. That superhuman leap from the bed to the from the light switch to the bed. And now he's scrunched up next to me as close as he can be. And I notice he's crying. And I said, Colton, I am so proud of you. You are so brave. He said, Mommy, I wasn't brave at all. I was scared. I said, baby, being brave doesn't mean you aren't scared. Being brave means you do what has to be done, even though you are scared. And you were very, very brave. America's struggle for liberty was filled with people like this. And I have to tell you, it just breaks my heart to know that we don't know who these people are. Mercy Otis Warren, amazing woman, my favorite founding mother, the first American woman playwright, wrote Shakespearean-style plays in the form of satire to poke fun at the British government and build the movement of resistance. She's the first American woman historian. She wrote a 3-volume set called The Rise, Progress, and Termination of the American Revolution. She said, I have to write this history because I lived it. She wrote to John Adams one day and said, I have my fears. Yet notwithstanding the complicated difficulties that rise before us, there is no receding. And I should blush if in any instance the weak passions of my sex should damp the fortitude, the patriotism, and the manly resolution of yours. May nothing ever check that glorious spirit of freedom which inspires the patriot in the cabinet and the hero in the field with the courage to maintain their righteous cause and to endeavor to transmit that claim to their posterity, even if they must seal the rich conveyance to their children with their own blood. We know Patrick Henry, and we said that we shouldn't be afraid. We know who he is. He said, give me liberty or give me death. But the women faced their fears as well, and they lived hard lives and sacrificed so much. We have to stand firm because of these sacrifices, the greatest birthright of any people, to whom much is given, much is required. And we must deny our fears that convince us we cannot survive without the comforts that we enjoy, that we must have government to keep us safe. We must deny all fears that place anything above the liberty that has been purchased for us. We must be resolved to make the same commitment to our children that our founders made. You see, fear is a choice, and this glorious gift of liberty comes with a price. The price has been paid for us, is continually paid by those men and women who gave it all. Elizabeth Adams wrote to her husband, "I beg you would not give yourself any pain on us being so near to the camp. The place I am is so situated that if the regulars should ever take Prospect Hill, which God forbid, I will be able to make an escape." When was the last time our wives and daughters went to sleep with an escape route because their own government could come in the middle of the night to arrest, execute, or even rape them? This is the sacrifice that our framers made, and we, in this period of thankfulness, must be thankful that we do not have to live the life that they lived, as we fight for the liberty of our children. The only question remains, how much longer before we sacrifice for our children the way our framers sacrificed for us? The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Elizabeth, writing to Samuel, said, "I beg you to give excuse for the very poor writing. My paper is bad, and my pen is made with scissors." When was the last time we were so desperate to communicate with a loved one that we were willing to make our own paper and to write with a broken pair of scissors? John Adams wrote to Abigail and said, "Is it not intolerable that the opening spring, which I should enjoy with my wife and children upon my little farm, should pass away and laugh at me for laboring day after day and month after month in a conclave where neither taste nor fancy nor reason nor passion nor appetite can be gratified?" When was the last time the average American gave up so much time with their family and home so that generations that they will never, ever know will have a liberty that they didn't possess? Our framers also lived with the daily threat of Islamic extremists, something that I'm sure nobody wants you to know about today. Back then, in our framers' day, they were called the Barbary Pirates. Only back then, they weren't suicide bombers. They were pirates who ravaged the colonial coasts, beheading, kidnapping, and enslaving colonial Christians who didn't pay them the fee for their freedom. And sometimes even if they did, they had no government willing to help them. When was the last time we were afraid like that on our soil? See, we have a lot to be thankful for. How long will we trade liberty for security? How long will we cling to our comfort at the expense of the liberty of our children. We have a heritage. We have a heritage worth fighting for. So let's focus on what is important. Embrace what makes us different. We are exceptional because we are built on these exceptional principles. We are... America is worth fighting for. You see, just because the light of this nation has dimmed, in times we feel we can't see the way ahead, the path to maintain liberty has not changed. We must stand active, vigilant, brave, for the liberty of our children. Because you see, we have to remember those who bravely gave all. Remember those who led the charge before us. Will help us remember our obligation to liberty and future generations. Winston Churchill said, "If you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it's better to perish than to live as slaves." Let us get reconnected with our heritage and this spirit of thanksgiving, so that we can maintain this liberty that was purchased for us. I'm reminded of the last verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. "Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." God bless you in this spirit of thanksgiving. God bless America a little bit more. See you tomorrow. Get in our way.